I think if you've got areas where there are more Republicans than are showing up in the map, then there's evidence there that this was designed to reduce their influence.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we speak with Richard Berfalt of Columbia Law School, an expert on redistricting, gerrymandering, voting rights, and election law. In the end, New York State's Independent Redistricting Commission was much ado about nothing. The bipartisan panel failed to come up with a set of new proposed maps for congressional and state Senate and assembly districts before the deadline, throwing the process to lawmakers. And in New York State, that means Democrats are drawing the maps for the 2022 elections right now. New York is due to lose a House seat in the next Congress. The new maps include some major changes. What did you think of the process and how it sort of ended?
Well, unfortunately, the process did not work as the proponents, the founders, the drafters of the constitutional amendment had hoped. I think they thought that by taking the process out of the legislature and giving it to a somewhat independent panel, they could come up with maps, and they've got to do maps for both for the congressional delegation and for both houses of the legislature that would be independent, would be less partisan, less, not so much driven by partisan concerns, but would be with population and minority representation and communities of interest and creating competitive districts. But I think the partisan tensions resurfaced within the commission, and as a result, they were unable to get to the supermajority, the fact that the constitutional amendment required that there be votes from both sides to approve plans. They were unable to do that. So in the end, we are back to where we have been traditionally, which is in the legislature itself.
One of the good government groups that follows the redistricting process, Common Cause, in a statement said that while this is clearly a partisan gerrymander to favor the Democrats, the maps, at least for Congress, do not appear to be violative of voting rights interests. Do you agree with that analysis?
I have not been able to study them carefully. I would say is that I'm sure it's something that they took into account, because it's both a matter of federal law and a matter of the state constitutional amendment that was passed in 2014 actually does require that any map that's adopted take into account minority voting rights. So I think it had to be something on their agenda. Whether they succeeded, I haven't looked at the maps carefully enough to be able to give an answer on that. But I'm sure it was something that was an important consideration.
In a process like this, there is external pressure to a degree on states. Do you think that factored into the eventuality that the process was thrown back to state lawmakers?
It's hard to say. I think as we've seen in so many other settings, it's hard to get past partisanship now. I should also say that the New York Commission was not a truly independent commission in the way that commissions in other states like in California and Arizona are, in that the commissioners were picked by party officials or by the party leaders in the state legislature, and I guess by the governor. They didn't. Other states that have moved to independent commissions have actually come up with a process for picking people on the commission that don't come out of the party designations or out of the designation of partisan elected officials. So this commission was, I'd say, one step removed from the legislature, but all of the commissioners, in some sense, had legislative or other political principles behind them. And so I think that made it harder for them to reach a deal.
In November, voters in New York rejected a measure and a statewide ballot that would have changed the process for drawing the lines. Do we have a sense of how average voters want this process to be done?
I don't know that average voters are very closely attentive to it. I think they hear words like gerrymander and partisan and probably tune out or just get skeptical. And I can't completely blame them. I think it's a pretty intricate process. There are a lot of rules have to be followed in terms of constitutional and statutory commands. So honestly, I would be surprised if a lot of voters, I mean, voters have a lot on their minds, to be honest. Voters have a lot of COVID and the economy and a bunch of other things. I suspect that this is pretty far down the list.
Nationally speaking, are we moving away from having fair fight districts? I mean, is that just going to become something that belongs to the past?
There's a lot of evidence that that's true, that we are moving away from having fair fight districts. I think part of it is that the people who draw lines, politicians have gotten better at creating districts that suit their needs and interests. The computing revolution made that a lot easier. It's now a lot easier to feed massive amounts of data into computers and to produce multiple plans that satisfy legal rules, but that have different consequences. So I think that's certainly been a factor. And it may also be a factor that there may be fewer swing voters. That's, I think, harder to establish. But there's also some evidence, people dispute this, that that the voters themselves are beginning to separate more into groups that have more strongly partisan views on either end of the spectrum, that there may be fewer voters in the middle now.
Republicans are hinting that they will challenge the new maps in New York in court over the partisan gerrymander that we're seeing now in early drafts of the maps. In general, when there are challenges to district maps, what are the merits of those cases? What do people argue to have them tossed out or redrawn?
Well, it's going to be interesting in New York this time because the New York constitutional amendment that created the Independent Redistricting Commission that didn't succeed also put new legal criteria requirements in the state constitution, and one of which is a restriction on districts that are drawn to discourage competition or to favor or disfavor incumbents or particular candidates or parties. So as a result of the U.S. Supreme Court decision a few years back, a case called Rucho, partisan gerrymandering, the federal courts will no longer hear partisan gerrymandering cases. But this constitutional provision that New York added a few years ago means that the state courts will be hearing them. And there's no track record on this provision since it was only adopted a few years ago after the last redistricting cycle. So I think that will be the opening for people who want to challenge this, is to make arguments that the maps were designed either to favor particular candidates or particular parties. And New York State Constitution now says that's a legitimate argument to raise. I'm proving it is a separate question, but raising it is now going to be something that can definitely get you into court.
Is that something that could be considered and decided before voters start voting in 2022 elections, or are we talking about after the maps are through an election cycle?
That's actually a hard question, and I think part of it is actually it's not so much when the voters start voting, is when the political cycle begins, because before the voters start voting, voters are going to be voting in June in primaries. So the voting actually is going to be a lot earlier than that, than November. And in order for candidates to get on the ballot in June, they have to petition to get on the ballot. It means they need to collect signatures, and the period for collecting those signatures I think starts fairly soon. I don't have the calendar in front of me. I think it starts sometime in March. So there's really a limited window for suits to move forward. And, of course, the question is what happens if maps are blocked. The old maps can't be used, period. For one thing, we're down one congressional district. So the congressional district maps cannot be used. And really the state legislative maps cannot be used because as a result of population changes in the state, some districts are now way too big in terms of one person, one vote, and some are way too small. So you need to have new districts one way or the other. And I honestly don't know what a court would do as to whether or not a court would stop this map now if they find that the plaintiffs have made a good case, or whether they would allow the litigation to go forward in the idea that maybe these maps will be in place for this electoral cycle but could be thrown out. And new ones put in place for the next one. I don't have a good sense of how the pace of litigation would go.
We're sort of down to the last minute now with the new maps. We have to do this every 10 years when the census results are taken.
Right.
How is it that it did get down to the last minute before the commission deadlocked and then the lawmakers, it's fair to say, behind closed doors, drew new maps without a lot of public input?
Well, remember, the plan this time was to use the commission, which did have a lot of two things. One is I think the census data came out late. I think COVID was a problem for the census, and I think there was a problem with the way the census was run, I think, in the Trump administration. So I think a lot of the census numbers came out late. But then the commission did hold public hearings, and they did, you know, produce tentative maps and later and subsequent maps. So unfortunately, the commission's process didn't feed, and may have affected the legislature's process, but certainly the legislature didn't do its own process, its own separate process. So, I think it may have been several things going on, the delay in the census and the commission process, which might have informed some of the stuff the legislature did, but that's not clear. The one thing that seems likely to me is that the commission's maps will almost certainly be used by any challengers to these maps, to the extent that the commission's maps would be more beneficial to the challenger than the map that's ultimately adopted.
If you could be God for one day and come up with a new way of doing this, what would you do?
Well, I think something like the California system is a pretty good one, where in effect you create a body to then pick the commissioners who come in as a mixture of citizen volunteers and people with certain backgrounds, and give them, and so that they're not directly beholden to the people appointing them. It's kind of a two-tier process where the political people sort of where people kind of nominate themselves and political people can screen them. But in the end, there are distributional requirements, and the commission becomes relatively independent of the politicians. And then they're given some guidelines as to what to do. It's not a perfect system. I'm not sure that there is a perfect system, because there are a lot of different values that are in competition in districting. But I think it operates to separate the districting process from direct political control.
What would you say to the argument that to the victors go the spoils, and, you know, New York has just way more Democrats than Republicans, and so, you know, a partisan gerrymander that leads to a congressional delegation that's something like 22 Democrats, 4 Republicans is reflective of where the state is?
Well, I actually don't think that describes that. You're right. The state is dominated by Democrats. I think Democrats have won every statewide election now for almost 20 years. But I don't think this New York is, what would the percentage be, 80% Democratic or 75% Democratic. I think it's more like a 58-42 or 60-40 state. Now, that doesn't, when you use districts, that doesn't translate into the proportionate number of districts, because districting by definition tends to overweight the dominant party, because they tend to be dominant in a lot of places. But it's hard to say that, and it could be that if the Democratic-Republican split statewide is mirrored in every neighborhood or throughout the state, then I think that might lead to a 22-4 split. But I think if you've got areas where there are more Republicans than are showing up in the map, then there's evidence there that this was designed to reduce their influence.
That's Richard Berfalt of Columbia Law School. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Okay, my pleasure.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.